And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. And I love Bible prophecy. I absolutely love it. Why? Because we're so privileged to know how everything is going to end up. It's a mystery to the world, but not to you and me. God promised that we would know it, or at least much of it. But you're going to have to draw close to God so he can whisper in your ear and tell you these secrets. The Bible says, the Old Testament says, that God does nothing lest he reveal it to his prophets. And as I've said just recently, in fact, on this program, that prophecy is the greatest gift of all. I mean, salvation, of course, naturally is greatest, but after you're saved, then you're given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Not everybody has the same gifts, but those who have the gift of prophecy are especially blessed. And they have the Spirit of Jesus on them too, because Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. And I love that. I've always wanted to be closely affiliated with Jesus. So I'll be a little bitty prophet way down here, you know, and he's the great prophet, and I'm more than happy to keep my place. I know the pecking order. I know who he is and who I am. And I'm more than happy to be his servant and his slave. People don't understand that, I guess. They say, well, who'd want to be a slave? Well, be what you want, dear friends. Bob Dylan once wrote a song, sang it, said you got to serve somebody. Could be God or could be the devil, but you're going to serve somebody. We all have to serve somebody. Well, today I want to talk about the woman who serves evil. She's the beautiful side of evil. Have you ever known a person? And it always seems like the movies and such always cast it as the woman. Yeah, she gets kicked in the back end all the time, the poor woman. She's the one who, you know, jilts the man, cheats him, lies to him. You know, sort of the Samson and Delilah complex, right? She's the evil one. And even Eve, you know, she was seduced by the devil, but, or at least the serpent in the garden, but then she went on and she got old Adam in trouble too. Well, it's not always the woman. Okay, let me take your side, ladies. It's not always the woman who is evil, but in this case, it really is. But wait. There's somebody cooperating with her. The woman is riding the beast. I'm referring, of course, to that great book of prophecy, Revelation chapter 17. The woman riding a beast. Until someday, the beast turns on the woman, burns her with fire, and eats her flesh. Women, have you ever had that happen to you? Man, you think everything is going great. You're holding hands, you're kissing with burning lips this man, and then suddenly he turns on you. And I know it really didn't happen that way, but you probably felt you were burned with fire and your flesh eaten, didn't you? You're pretty upset about that. Well, these things, of course, are spiritual, and we're going to look at them from a spiritual perspective today. In fact, we're going to look at the beautiful side of evil, which is this woman who rides the beast. You can find out about her in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. This is so powerful. Let me just read to you. John is receiving this prophetic vision. And he says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Here she is, this great woman, a great whore that sits upon many waters, many nations, quite obviously, many oceans, many seas. And the kings of the earth, we can call them presidents, prime ministers, chancellors, premiers, whatever, have committed fornication with her, and so have the inhabitants of the earth. They've been made drunk with the wine of her fornication, in fact. You know what fornication is? It's illegal, unlawful sex. But I believe here it means even more than that. I think it has to do with spiritual fornication. Oh, you can spiritually fornicate with the devil and his agents. Oh, yeah, you can spiritually fornicate. And it's indeed a horrible thing. So he carried me away, says John, in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Think about that. What a vision this was. This woman arrayed in purple. She wore purple and scarlet color. That's a very bright red, this scarlet. Very deep red. She was decked out with gold and precious stones and pearls. And she had a golden cup in her hands, and it was full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And she sat up on a scarlet beast, a red dragon, you see, full of names of blasphemy. A lot of names there. Maybe Judaism, Hinduism, Islam. All kinds of names of blasphemy. Maybe of all the religions that have ever existed on the face of this planet. I'm just speculating here now. But I know what the Bible says. Take it if you want to and limit it to that. I think that's the way to do it, in fact. A beautiful woman, voluptuous. Oh, she may be a slut. She may be a whore, but she is beautiful and she is magnificent. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Obviously, she has daughters. Now, this is the beautiful side of evil. And that's why so many have fornicated with her and drank of the wine of her fornications. And the angel, well, let me remember in verse 6, the woman was drunken with the blood of the saints. She's responsible for many saints having died over the centuries. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. She wasn't drunken with alcohol. She's drunken with blood. This is a bloody beast woman. A bloody woman. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. What does it mean there? In the King James language simply means he marveled. He was amazed at the vainglory. Yes, she was evil. Yes, she was a horrible woman. But oh, wasn't she beautiful? Oh, wasn't she magnificent? Oh, wasn't she glorious in a very sinful, decadent, deadly way? And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? Why are you marveling? What are you marveling about? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And that they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. A little riddle there. the beast that was and is not and yet is. But the woman is riding the beast. There are two like, there is one. The same as in marriage, you see. The two fleshes cleave together and become one. That's the purpose of marriage. That a man and a wife become one person. And if someone gets into them and breaks them asunder and separates them, that is a defilement of the marriage. And really, it's a transgression against the law of God. That's what it is. And so the woman is tragically tied, inextricably linked, connected with the beast. She and it are one. They seem to have the same purpose, the same goal. And she obviously rides the beast, so she must tell it where to go, what to do. But it is very powerful on its own. I suppose at any time it could turn around and grab hold of the woman and destroy her. Think of a horse. It's a magnificent creature. Jerry, how much does a horse weigh? You have two horses, you and Leslie. 1,000 pounds. So a little woman may weigh 120, 130. If that horse wanted to, when your wife Leslie is riding it, it could do her some damage if it wanted to. One kick of it could knock a man's head off practically. Just one little hoof beat. So the beast is powerful, but for now it allows the woman to direct its path. Isn't that a little bit like the United States today, dear friend? Israel directs our path. The Jews that make up only 2-3% of our population ride the beast and tell it what to do. And America is the greatest power on earth today. And our troops are in 130 nations. And we're fighting nonsensical, stupid, evil wars. And thousands of Americans and millions of people in Iraq and Afghanistan and Yemen and Syria and Libya have been killed. Because the woman Israel told America, go here and do this. Conquer in my name. Well, sometimes they don't even want their name known. Just conquer for me. And the beast goes and does it. And those two are one. Since 1948, when Israel became a nation at the behest of the United States, it would not have become a nation if Truman had not made it so. We were the great superpower and we stamped the document that said, yes, Israel is now a nation. How can one nation make of another people a nation? But we did it. And since then, Israel has been the greatest marauder and destroyer in the world. Well, Israel combined with its host nation, you might say, the United States. For Israel has ridden the beast and told it what to do, where to go, how many to kill, where to kill. So we have fornicated as Americans with the woman. We have drank the wine of her fornication and been made drunk with it. So much so that Americans believe that Israel is a good nation, a wonderful, pious, lovely nation, a holy nation, and even is God's chosen, even as it goes about killing and causes that America become a killer of peoples and nations. The woman rides the United States, the beast, and is one with the beast. Somebody came up to me one time and said, see there, this is Rome. The prophet here was talking about the great empire of Rome. And all this has already happened. But can that be? Think about it. The beast that was and is not and yet is. Could that be Rome? Put yourself in John's shoes, the prophet John, the apostle John. He's given this vision. He says the beast was and is not and yet is. Now, Rome was and is. So it couldn't be Rome, could it? You see, this is the beast that was and is not. Rome was the greatest power on earth at that time. So this would be incorrect. This does not relate to Rome at all. And yet is. But could it be Israel? Could it be the nation of the Jews? It was and is not. You see, the book of Revelation was written, according to scholars, about 94, the year 94 AD. 24 years earlier, in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus had swept into Jerusalem and destroyed the city and tore down the temple, one stone after another, just as Jesus Christ had prophesied would happen. And then he killed hundreds of thousands of Jews and took the remainder of the people captive or slaves. And they were spread throughout the empire. The Jews were. The Roman Empire. They were the ones that were, but were not, but really, they were. This is the beast that was and is not and yet is. That would seem to go right up Israel's alley. Because at the time John wrote this, and he was writing from the island of Patmos, he had been banished by the Romans for his so-called revolutionary activities. And therefore, Israel itself had been banished and destroyed by the Roman Titus, who later became Caesar, by the way. And they built a great arch of triumph in the old city of Rome, dedicated to the triumph that Titus had over the Jews. Still stands today, that arch. If you visit Rome, you'll see it. And I've been there a number of times and seen it. Now, we have then this woman, the whore of Babylon. Her name is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And she sits atop the beast and directs it. And it has, this beast, has 10 horns. The Bible here in verse 12 of chapter 17 says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." So at the time of John's life, he's a very old man writing on the island of Patmos what he had seen, because earlier in the book of Revelation, he's told to write down the things that are to come. And he's told that these 10 horns, which is a sign of power, the horn, are 10 kings, 10 world rulers. They've received no kingdom as yet. As of 94 AD, when he wrote this book, the book of prophecy called Revelation, they didn't have their kingdom yet. But they will receive their kingdom, but exists only 1 hour. In the great scope of history, thousands of years, this kingdom of 10 world rulers will only exist for 1 little hour. We don't know how little 1 hour is. Some say, well, a day is a thousand years with the Lord. So let's say 1/24th. You know, they try to get all kinds of, well, you know, 24 hours in a day. So 1/24th of 1,000. See, you really can't do that. You're not given an exact measure, but you're given sort of a comparison stick. They only receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. But here's something interesting. Verse 13 says, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb." Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. "And the Lamb shall overcome them." Oh, wow. "For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Listen, dear friends. Listen to these words of Tex Mars from the Bible. Are you called? Are you chosen? Are you faithful? Then you will be with the Lamb when he comes. You will be an overcomer. Verse 15, John says, or writes, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." In other words, languages. Boy, all this This is like the whole world, peoples, multitudes, nations, languages. This whore sits over all of them. She presides. She is fornicated with all of them. And the people, the inhabitants, are drunk. Friends, you listen to the lying, false Bibles of the Hindus and the Muslims and so forth, you'll get drunk in your head. You'll be intoxicated, even reading scientific books that say there is no God. About 40 years ago, it was popular to say God is dead. There are magazines. They had the headline, God is dead. This is the wine. This is the wine that she offers people. These lies. It's full of filthiness. And if you drink that, it will make you drunk. So you won't think straight. Recently read an article. They're coming up with more and more articles like this that said that marijuana rots the brain. Well, I know that, not from personal experience. I've never smoked one bit of marijuana, but I've seen people that basically their brains are rotted because they've smoked marijuana all their life. Marijuana doesn't bother me at all. I've been smoking it since I was 13, and now I'm 40. It hadn't affected me at all, and you can tell they're just a stumble bum while they're talking to you. Their brains are rotted. Now new medical science has proven that. Well, listen to this. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Wait just a minute. First, the woman rides the beast. She's its controller. The two are one. But a great divorce occurs, evidently. There's a breakup. Oh, breaking up is hard to do, said Neil Sedaka, but I suppose that's the way it goes. The Bible says it's going to happen. There is no honor among thieves, and the beast and the woman certainly are the greatest thieves in the world. And these 10 horns, that's the great, these kingdoms or nations. You know, it can be the United States and Germany and Russia and China and so forth. They're all as one. They're of one mind. For all of their strength and power is given unto the beast. So it's a confederacy, you might say. A union of all of these nations together. It's of one mind. And finally, it decides not to follow orders from the woman anymore. Not to do what she says, but to turn against her. And they hate the whore of Babylon, the one who has Mystery Babylon written on her forehead. And they're going to make her desolate and naked. And they'll eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Who is flesh? That's her people. That's her flesh. All those who believe in her, believe in these false religions, in Judaism, for example, and burn her with fire. Verse 17, I love this verse. It says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Why does the beast turn against the woman, the whore? Why does he eat her flesh and burn her with fire and make her desolate? Because that's God's will. He can't fight God, and so he attacks the woman. Wow. Could it be that the United States is the beast and all of these nations, you know, come together as one under the command of the United States, and eventually they turn against the Jews? Oh, the Jews seem to be in such powerful positions today. They tell the president what to do. They tell our military forces where to go. They tell our religious leaders, our Christian leaders, do this, do that. Pay attention. We're God's chosen people. We're the Holy Land. For fear of the Jews, people do it. But suddenly, the beast says, no more. You know, I was reading an article in the New York Post. It quoted Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger is Jewish, but he knows a lot. He was Rockefeller's man. and now he's Rothschild's man. Henry Kissinger, formerly Secretary of State under Richard Nixon, now he's been called the savant of the world. Here's what Cindy Adams writes in the New York Post. This is dated, let's see, I want to make sure I've got it here, September 7th, 2012. She says, Middle East horror. Democratic Party is dismissing Jerusalem. It has an anti-Israel mentality. Obama has no time for beleaguered Netanyahu. Wow. Henry Kissinger has stated, and I quote the statement word for word. Get this. Henry Kissinger is being quoted in the New York Post newspaper by Cindy Adams. She says, and I quote the statement of Kissinger word for word. Remember, he's Jewish himself. Quote, these are the words of Kissinger. Listen to this, dear Christian friend. In 10 years, there will be no more Israel. I repeat, in 10 years, there will be no more Israel. Wow. Henry Kissinger said that. Henry Kissinger, who has the ability to, without an appointment, walk into the Oval Office and talk to the president anytime he wants, pick up the phone and call the Baron Rothschild in Great Britain. Isn't that amazing? In 10 years, there will be no more Israel. Meanwhile, I'm reading from VeteransToday.com. It says there's an article here dated October 31st, 2012 by Bob Johnson, columnist, Judaism, a threat to humanity. Wow. Judaism is now being called by many a threat to humanity. They did a poll, a survey in Europe a few years ago, and they asked the people of Europe, what is the greatest threat to your security and to your freedom in the entire world today? What is the greatest threat today to your security and freedom? What do you think they said? Al-Qaeda? The Libyans? Benghazi? The Iraqis? The Afghanis? The Taliban? No. Israel. Israel is called the greatest threat to security and to freedom in the world by the Europeans. Looks like they're not as brainwashed as the Americans, doesn't it? Wow. Judaism is the major threat to humanity. After all, they have 400 to 600 bombs. Read the book, The Golem, that we offer by Michael Collins Piper. You'll find out the danger of having hundreds of nuclear bombs in the hands of maniacs in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And as my good friend Hans Schmidt, the late Hans Schmidt, the great German writer, in his excellent book, The Endgame, wrote, he said, the Jews always go too far. They always go too far. Is this why there will be no more Israel? Henry Kissinger believes they will go too far. Will they crank up another war in the Middle East with Iran bigger than all the other wars before it? Will it end up with countries like Turkey and Pakistan and China and Russia becoming involved in the United States? Will there be a World War III? Will it be instigated by these maniacs in Israel? Is that why Kissinger said there will be no more Israel? The whole world will be sick of it, will have had enough of its terrorism, of its murdering of the Palestinians and others? Could be. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're talking about the beautiful side of evil, the mysterious woman who rides the beast. I'll be right back after this message. Bloody Zion, it's the name of the new book by Edward Henry. You know, Edward Henry is an interesting man. He was raised, he's a brilliant guy, by the way, and he's one of America's top attorneys. He's an expert in the field of constitutional law, the Bill of Rights, and so forth. And he's a graduate of a Jesuit law school, Catholic Jesuit law school. And he's also a graduate of the prestigious university, the University of Notre Dame. Well, how did he get to writing books that are offered by Power of Prophecy Ministries? Well, it all started when he became a Christian. He was raised hardcore Catholic. He was sent to all the Catholic schools, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school. Then he was sent to a Catholic university, then a Catholic law school. But I guess God had other plans. And one day he met Jesus Christ. And that changed everything for Edward Henry. And now he has exposed the Catholic Church, the Vatican, with his outstanding book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. We're talking about Babylon the Great today here, and he has written a book called Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. And it explains how the Jews and the Pope and the Vatican have all come together as one now, and they're plotting in their hearts and in their everyday works to take over the world. And they're right on the verge of doing so. Who would have ever thought that, yes, Mystery Babylon is the Catholic Church, but it's the Jews who control the Catholic Church. Wow. Well, after all, the whore does ride the beast. You'll need to get a copy of that book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. It's how much is that book, Jerry? 25, good. 25. It's a big book, by the way. Huge book. Encyclopedic. As for the book Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great by Edward Hendry. That's H-E-N-D-R-I-E. Okay? Meanwhile, we have a new book for you. Bloody Zion. Bloody Zion. It's all about the Jews throughout history up until this very day. Bloody Zion. Could it be they are Bloody Zion? Well, we've already seen that the whore of Babylon is drunken with the blood of the saints of Jesus and the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Wow. Bloody Zion. 544 pages. We want you to have this book for $28. We'll send you that book. Now, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great is $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling for the book. For Bloody Zion, 544 pages. What a treatise this is. And by the way, Edward Henry is a great academic man, a great scholar, but he doesn't write like one. That's what I like. You know, anyone can understand his books. If you've got a ninth grade, 10th grade education, I don't know, maybe a few words you don't understand, but I think you'll generally understand. He doesn't try to write for all the bigwigs. He could, so that only the people with PhDs would understand it. But what do they have to do with anything anyway? They've never influenced the world. Jesus didn't have a PhD. I don't think he ever would have wanted such a thing. His disciples were your everyday men. And of course, women too. He had women disciples, Mary Magdalene for one, and others, of course. Okay, Bloody Zion, $28. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $33. And just phone us to order the book, Bloody Zion, or Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great, by phoning us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, and we'll get the book right out to you, and you'll be talking, by the way, some very friendly people. I really mean this. Whoever answers, a man or woman, are going to be very friendly to you, very helpful to you. They love their job. They love you. And we're just all a team, you with us. We're working on behalf of the truth. And by the way, when you do order something from us, it's not mandatory. Please don't think anybody's going to browbeat you for any money. We never do, okay? We don't get you on the phone and say, now, could you give an additional gift? Every once in a while, we may say, would you like to give an additional love gift? And that's it. If you say no, okay. That's up to you. But we do appreciate your love gifts. In fact, we need them. Would you, if you order one of these books, or even if you don't, if you would consider what I call sort of a year-end type love gift to the ministry, we would appreciate it. It can be $2, $5, $100, $10, it doesn't matter. $1,000 if you can afford it. We really need that. Times are a little bit lean right now, and, well, our prices of everything, costs just keep going up for our books and our tapes and even postage. They're raising postage again, shipping. My goodness gracious. Never quits, does it? They keep telling us the cost of living stays the same, but you and I know that's just not true, is it? Not in our homes and certainly not here at Power of Prophecy. So if you'd help us out, we would certainly appreciate it. We need your help. There are not many ministries like ours. I don't want to brag or anything. That's not what I'm after here. But you know it. We stand for what's right, for what's good. We stand for our Constitution, but most of all for the Bible. There are a lot of people out there that are standing for patriotism in America, but it's like they're scared to death to mention the name of Jesus. I don't know why. Well, maybe they don't know him as Lord. You see, if you know Jesus, he's in your heart. You cannot help yourself but confess him to everyone. I do that. I don't, you know, just run out on the street like a madman. I guess that would be okay. I remember when I used to teach at the University of Texas, there was a guy who dressed in black. I don't know why he dressed in black. They call him the man in black. By the way, they had a little girl out there, too. She was about 25. She dressed in white, the little girl in white. They come out to the campus and preach. And one time this guy was out there preaching, and they had several hundred people out there just heckling him. Just mean students, devils. And they were just heckling this guy, you know, calling him bad names and saying sexual things to him and all that. And, you know, he just kept on preaching. The guy was good. I will say this. He had those scriptures down pat, and he just preached to him. And then this woman, she was a big old lesbian, you could tell. She starts hitting on him. How dare you, you know, say that Jesus is the only way? She was just going at him. And he was quoting the Bible to her. She said, well, what do you think about me? I'm a lesbian. He said, well, I'll tell you what you are. The Old Testament says what you are. You're a contentious woman. It is better to be in a... And he talked about, you know, a brawling woman, a contentious woman, what the Bible says about that. Oh, that made her more mad. She was so angry. And, you know, I was so pleased. I was dressed in my... You know, well, anyway, I was... dressed pretty nice, and I saw the man. He didn't have on the best of clothes. And I let him preach on for a little while, then I sidled over to him and said, you know, you've been preaching a while, brother. How about me getting you something to eat? He looked at me and said, okay. I said, well, let's just go somewhere and sit down. And we did. Went on Guadalupe. If you know University of Texas, you know Guadalupe. They call it the drag, where all the kids go to eat, and there's hippies there and all kind of things, and strange people. And there's nice places too in the bookstores, and we went in, and I got to know him really well, and you know, every once in a while, I'd always go for a walk around campus during my lunch break, and there he was preaching every day, and I believed in the man. I believed he was doing some good. Some people said, oh, he's not doing as good as what he says, just goes out into the air. I don't think so. I met a few students on campus that said that they had laughed at him and scorned him. And later they got to know Jesus. They thought about it. In fact, you know, one day, Juan and I met a young man. I say he's young, but in his 30s. You can tell I'm a little bit older. And he came to me and said, you used to teach at the University of Texas. I said, yes, I did. He said, hey, do you ever remember the guy in black? I said, oh, yeah, I remember him. Now, the reason he wore black is he only had one suit. And I think he used to preach at some funerals. And it was a black suit because, you know, that's what they wear at funerals. And that's the only suit he had. So that's what he wore, okay, his black suit. Every day to the campus and preached. And I think the man saved many souls. A lot of people laughed at him. A lot of them scorned him, a street preacher. But I liked the guy. And he, boy, did he know his Bible. I wish I'd known my Bible as much as he did. He was a great one for that Bible. Now, I never got with a Christian sister, you know. I listened to her a few times, and she was pretty good, too. You know, God just calls people to do all kinds of ministries and things. And no one is more important than the other. Some say, well, he didn't have an important ministry like yours, Tex. Well, I don't know that. It might have been more important. It could have been. He could have changed the hearts that will change the world. I don't know. But I never laughed at the guy, let me tell you. I wanted to be his friend. Maybe he'd pray for me. You say, well, Tex, come on. Yes. People like that pray for you. And you need that. Well, in any case, all right. That tells you a little bit about my heart. I'm for these street preachers. I like them. I do. And praise God for them. Okay. Some people say they make a fool of themselves for God. Well, why not? I don't mind being a fool for the Lord. Let's return now. Oh, yes, I need to give out people. I got all worked up there about our street preacher. Our address to order these books is 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Addresses to text bars are Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, our website, powerofprophecy.com. You can order any of our books, including these two, at any time, 24/7, by going to powerofprophecy.com. And you can even donate a love gift. Okay? A tithe or a donation. A lot of people say, what's the difference between a tithe and an offering? Well, a tithe is what God expects you to give. An offering is beyond that. Some people give even beyond what God expects them to give. How much does God expect you? We could argue all day about that. A lot of people say, well, it used to be 10%. Then they want to argue, now is that gross or net? And is it before taxes or after taxes? Hey, you know what God wants you to give. You know. God puts it in your heart. You have liberty to do the right thing. You have liberty to do the right thing. I'm not going to tell you what to do it, but the Holy Spirit will. And so give whatever God tells you to give. Do that and you'll be a most happy person. I promise you. You don't have to be a street preacher. You don't have to be a Tex Mars. Some people call me a fool too. But that's my business, being the business of fools. Used to be in the Air Force. You know, they said peace is our profession. But we always came back and said, yes, and war is our business. That was the U.S. Air Force. All right. We're going to continue on with our program. Now we're talking about the woman who rides the beast. She's lovely. She's voluptuous. She's beautiful. And she's drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. And she rides the beast until suddenly he and his cohorts turn against her and burn her, make her desolate, eat her flesh, destroy her. Well, she's an international system the time, as long as she's alive, as long as she exists. And Revelation 18 talks about her being a great commercial empire. A great commercial empire. Listen to chapter 18. Verse 1 says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Wow. Now I want you to note something. Babylon the great is fallen. Do you think God is redundant? You think God just repeats himself for no reason? I don't. Well, Israel fell in 70 AD. Jerusalem was made desolate, and Jesus had prophesied it in Matthew 23 and 24. Read those. It's powerful. It fell. It became desolate. But wait. The beast had a wound, and it was healed. It didn't die. It was and is not and yet is. The nation of Israel was supposedly destroyed by the Romans, but many Jews lived on. They went into other nations. Some became great merchants. Some became seamen. Others became advisors, financial advisors to kings and queens. Think about that. Babylon the Great is fallen. Israel has two falls. It fell in 70 AD. Everybody said it's over with. It's all destroyed. Israel is gone. It'll never recover from this head wound. But it did. And the Jews really never left the world scene of power, did they? The Sanhedrin, I believe, is reconstituted itself today. And there's the World Zionist Organization. And all of these dozens, scores of Jewish organizations and groups. There's a chief rabbi of Jerusalem, a chief rabbi of Israel. There's a chief rabbi of the synagogue of Rome in Italy. And of the United States, each of the cities of the United States where Jews reside has a synagogue and a chief rabbi. Here we see, though, two great falls. Interesting, isn't it? Now, Revelation 18, verse 24, gives you a little bit more information about this great city, this Babylon the Great. Mystery Babylon the Great, the harlot. It says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Well, that's a wicked city. That's a wicked place. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. What city, what nation killed the prophets? What nation, what city killed the saints and all that were slain upon the earth? Some people say it's Rome. Could that be? Certainly, the Vatican carried out its great inquisition, and many Protestant reformers were murdered, were tortured. So Rome certainly has culpability, is guilty of a lot of these things. But here it says, in her, that's Mystery Babylon, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. All means all. Who could that be? Could it really be Israel? Physical Israel? Not spiritual Israel, which is of God. Not the New Jerusalem, which is of God. But earthly Jerusalem, the earthly city. Could it be that's what it is? What if I told you that the very words of Revelation 18:24, which have to do with Mystery Babylon, were first said by Jesus, and he applied them to Jerusalem and to Israel, the house of Israel? What would you say then? Would you believe Jesus? Would you call him a liar, as do thousands of pastors in the Southern Baptist and the Pentecostal and the Assembly of God and the other denominations? Would you say the Pope of Rome is correct? It could not be Israel or the Jews because they have their own covenant. Would you agree with John Hagee that the Jews have their own covenant and that they're one of the most holy people on earth? And that through their own covenant, the law, they can receive salvation? Would you agree to that? Could it be, however, that these people are all wrong? That in fact, in her, Israel, physical Israel, earthly Israel, the house of Israel, as the Bible calls it, is actually found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth? Well, that's what Jesus says. I think I'm going to believe him. What do you say, dear Christian? Are you going to believe Jesus? Or are you going to believe all these others? Let's go to what Jesus said. Chapter 23, the Gospel of Matthew. Let's go to verse 30. Now, I'd like you to read the whole chapter. I wish I had time. Please go back and read chapter 23 and 24. You'll get, my goodness. Oh, what a prophecy. What a statement by Jesus. He says, verse 29. Let's start with that. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchers of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore Therefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation, that means race, friends, that means ethnic group. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. That, get this now, verse 35, remember what we read in Revelation 18:24. Remember what we read about Mystery Babylon the Great, two great falls. Remember what we read about her being responsible for the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have fallen upon this earth. Remember what it says about Mystery Babylon. And now what does Jesus say in verse 35 of Matthew 23? Jesus says this. He says that upon you, he's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to their religious leaders, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. What does it say in verse 24 of Revelation 18? And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Jesus says in Matthew that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Two falls. Babylon, Mystery Babylon. Israel had two falls. Jesus said they were responsible for all the righteous blood shed on this planet. And what is the Apostle John told in Revelation 18? The same thing. We're referring to the house of Israel, the physical, earthly house of Israel. It says, Jesus says that you're responsible for all this blood from the blood of righteous Abel. That's the very first murder on earth. Cain slew Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Folks, from my studies of the Bible, no one knew what had happened to Zacharias until this time. And Jesus revealed this murder. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. That's not 20 years or 30 years or 40 years of time. That generation means this race of people, this nation, the house of Israel. How do I know that? The very next verse says it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, listen to this. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He was in the temple. He told the religious leaders and the people there, you are responsible for all the blood that's ever been shed since the first murder on this planet when Cain slew Abel. And now, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, what does it say in Revelation 17 about the woman who rides the beast? The beast, at a certain point in history, will turn against her and destroy her and, quote, make her desolate. And what did Jesus say? Your house is left unto you desolate. Mystery Babylon the Great is fallen. This is the tragic fate of the woman who rides the beast, whose people cried out, crucify him. One day, there will be no more Israel. Henry Kissinger said that, but we don't have to listen to Henry Kissinger. He's a deceiver. Let's listen to Jesus. One day there will be no Mystery Babylon the Great, the whore. She'll be destroyed. Why does the beast think of destroying her? He's been doing whatever she says for so many years. She is his guide, his instructor. He drinks from her golden cup. It's the will of God. It's the will of God that he do so. He doesn't have a recourse. Why do you think the Antichrist comes with a number 666? Wouldn't he choose any other number? He's got the wisdom of serpents. He'd say, well, I'll choose 532. I'll choose 461. I'll choose 777. Everybody will believe I'm God then. No, he won't. We will know him because of the number 666 that he conveys. He has no choice. Friends, this is what you need to understand about the woman who rides the beast. And even the beast himself, for his day will come too. His days are numbered as well. They have no choice. Ah, the abortionists today. We want a society that gives us choice. We're pro-choice. No, you're just pro-murder. That's what you are. You're a murderer. You're killing innocent life. And you will be recompensed unless you repent. Well, now, Tex, you sound like that old street preacher. You've got to repent. I don't mind being a street preacher. I guess in a way I am. I'm on the electronic highway here, the street, and I'm preaching. You know, Israel always goes too far, Hans Schmidt told me. And they're going to turn on her. Rome turned on her. And the Jews have been banished in nation after nation. For cause. There's reasons why they're banished. The Jews say, I don't know why we're always persecuted. Oh, yes, you do. You cheat. You rob. You steal. You murder. You connive. And the people get sick and tired wherever you reside and want to get rid of you. So you're banished from nation after nation. The Jews are revolutionaries. Listen to what Winston Churchill said. Sir Winston Churchill, former prime minister during World War II of Great Britain. This was his words, and I have this actual article in my files from the Illustrated Sunday Herald of London, February 8th, 1920. He wrote of the Bolshevik communists who he said were Jews, Lenin, Trotsky, and all of them. He says, it may well be that this same astounding race, that is the Jews, and by the way, he said they can be traced their revolutionary activities all the way back to Spartacus. That was the code name for Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Order of the Illuminati, founded in May of 1776. And he talked about the House of Israel, Sir Winston Churchill did. He says, it may well be that this same astounding race may at the present time be in the actual process of producing another system of morals and philosophy as malevolent as Christianity was benevolent. It would seem, wrote Mr. Churchill, as if the gospel of Christ and the gospel of Antichrist were destined to originate among the same people. The tragic fate and destiny of the woman who rides the beast and all those who drink of her wine, who are made drunk, who are made mad. In other words, they go insane. That's the fate of those who reject Jesus Christ and his truth. Folks, you can be made sane. You can be made whole. You can think straight. You can be happy, and you can live forever through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through faith in him and his work on the cross. This is Tex Barnes. It's been great to be with you today. And my solemn prayer, my hope, is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.